Well, do you know what? It's Twitter Thursday, but with Elon Musk buying Twitter during the week, I'm just wondering, was Sean Defoe part of the chattels and all that was sold with it? Is he even here today? Or gone out on strike?
I'm 70% owned by Elon Musk at the minute. It's currently the way things are progressing.
Oh, Sean, it's just mad. $44 billion. We were talking a little bit before about this, and just trying to get your head around that kind of dosh.
That you have that kind of money and that he can put a good portion of that up in cash is just sort of nuts to try and think about. Like, he is, and I've said this before, he's not only the richest man on earth, he is the richest man in all of human history, which is just takes some thinking about when you're actually trying to do it. $44 billion, he's saying he wants to kind of clean up the app and you know, to make the potential out of what it can be, but no one really knows what that's going to mean, and there's some serious questions over what he deems free speech, for example. He tweeted during the week, "I hope that even my worst critics remain on Twitter, because that's what free speech means." And of course, one of the big problems Twitter has had has been people being able to say whatever they like, and that kind of sounds like people should be named, you know, be able to say whatever they like. So that might be potentially problematic. It's certainly going to be interesting to see what he does with Twitter. You don't really, like, he's someone, I think I find Elon Musk is someone you either hate or you love. There's not a huge amount of in-between.
Quite Marmite.
With him. Very Marmite. And, like, he's just a little bit too much like a supervillain for my tastes. if you took away the name, right, and looked at what he's doing, launching hundreds of thousands of satellites into the sky on the pretense of providing broadband to all areas of the globe, which is laudable as it
indeed.
Is, but also will have, you know, satellites looking down on every single bit of the world. I think there is a program he's involved with involving neural technology. That's kind of making microchips in the brain sort of stuff. And now he wants to buy the one of the biggest social media platforms in the world and have full control on that. So you might forgive my thinking that those are all things a supervillain might or might not do.
Yes, I can exactly see where you're coming from with the supervillain end of things. Do you know, I was looking at some figures, Sean, and Twitter made $221 million of a loss in its last financial year of a loss.
It's not a big money spinner. You know, they have had difficulty with advertising and with how that works. They've had a lot of difficulty with different things on the site, not alone the abuse and trying to manage that, and also allegations of being involved in, say, election fixing, as in the platform being involved, obviously not the owners or the organisers of it themselves. So Twitter's had some huge problems, and it isn't somewhere that is particularly easy to advertise, certainly not in the way that Instagram and Facebook are, where, you know, you can put videos into the timeline. So even when they promote things, it makes it a bit more difficult. So it's not a money spinner. You can see why the current owners maybe decided this was a good out for them with such a big offer. And you just wonder what Elon will do, because he's one of the few people in the world who doesn't have to worry about the money. He doesn't care if
it's
200 grand losses. That's what he'll make that back.
Oh, sure.
He'll make that back over breakfast. Don't get out of bed for 200 grand.
Having 44 billion in your back pocket to pay with in cash, as you just said there. Nisha says, boo to Elon Musk. Nobody should be a billionaire, especially not as rich as him.
Certainly not as rich as that. I mean, it's like most of us never be in the reach of €1 million in, you know, over the course of 20 or 30 years, exactly, let alone that much absolute money. And it does, like, there is a bit of me that is just made sick by that kind of wealth from him and the likes of Jeff Bezos. It was interestingly, actually, one of the things that we talked about on the show earlier on the year, or last year it must have been at this stage, was that the people did go to him with a plan for ending world
that's
hunger.
Right, I remember you
a plan that was
that.
Costed at about $6 billion, so like a fraction of what they said. They say they've heard nothing back. He basically said, present your case to me, because I can see this money being lost into corruption and all other kind of things, and they made that case to him and heard nothing back. So sure, what's $6 billion to give an old go at world
now
hunger, you when you can
it.
Just buy Twitter instead for six times the cost?
God, isn't it really a fair point? Now, moving on to other things, and this is extraordinary, and it just goes to show how, you know, people will think certain ways about certain things and all the rest of it. But explain anyway what we're going to talk about here.
Well, this goes straight into why it's important as to who has, you know, ownership or a say or stake in media, because this is a guy called Jason. Well, exactly. This is a guy called Jason Selvig. He's actually part of a comedy duo, and you'd be forgiven for thinking this clip is full-on comedy. But what they do is one of these Americans that goes along to these far-right rallies and talks to the people there just to hear the absolute mad things that they come out with. And this came to my attention when Jim Carrey retweeted it for a pretty important reason. I think you can play the clip.
You think Biden is not alive right now?
No, the guy that's doing the stand-up job of trying to wake people up is an actor wearing a mask. I mean, there's several different people playing Joe Biden at this point. And when he fell up the stairs going on the airplane, I myself think that was Jim Carrey. I've heard that he was one of them.
Wait. You think that Jim Carrey was wearing a mask and was the acting president?
Silly and being silly by falling up the stairs 3 different times.
How do you even begin to comment or rebut people with those kind of views?
I just don't even know where to go, because it's just like, how does that even enter your head? Like, whatever about having personal views and, you know, and being critical of a president, all that's fine. But where does your head have to be to go, yeah, do you know what? I think the president is several different men being played in a mask. Like, America is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. And there is living proof of it. Sean Defoe, we're smack out of time. But listen, always good to talk to you of a week. And we wish you luck for the remainder of your week. Have a good one, all right?
And to you, Ollie. And can I just give it, right before we go,
a
little plug? Because I launched a podcast today that we are trying to get off the ground. It's called Let Me Explain. If people go onto my Twitter, there we are. I finally caught up with 2005 and decided to do a podcast. So it is called Let Me Explain. Each week we're going through some of the biggest news stories, but a bit like we do, a bit of crack to it, a bit of behind the scenes to it. And the first one is out now. It's on the whole Leo Leakes controversy. So do check out my Twitter if you enjoy these segments and have a listen there. And thanks. Sorry for the shameless plug at the end of your segment, Ollie.
Oh, sure. Look, it's quite allowable. And I'm certainly going to follow on that and watch it with interest and listen with interest, I should say. So, Sean, always a man of interest. Thank you so much for that, and best of luck with it, all right?
Cheers, Ollie. See you later.